Tonight I'm going to be talking about accepting uncertainty because it's very unsettling. It's a very uncomfortable feeling to not know what the heck. And yet, that's how we live. That's the normal condition. We never know what's going to happen. There are probabilities, and we have an idea, usually, of what's likely to happen. But knowing? No. For example, you know, death and taxes, we all know that we're going to die. We've been told this since we were children. We have an intellectual understanding of that. No one knows when. Even people in hospices. The insurance companies spend billions of dollars. They bet it on their actuarial tables that they can predict when we're going to die. But, you know, that's a huge statistical sampling. And they're playing the numbers, basically. Not only do we not know what's going to happen the next moment in our lives, we have no idea what's happening now in the lives of other people. Certainly, the people far away, we don't know what's going on. There's this sense that we've acquired from this electronic age that we can know what's going on everywhere on the planet, pretty much at any moment. But that's an illusion. I mean, we really don't. We get some input, but I mean, even the person standing next to us, we don't know what's happening for them. Their experience is going to be different than ours. And what's happening at a riot in a country far away, well, it's something different for everybody who's in that riot. I think one of the biggest sources of a sense of powerlessness is around the people that we're close to and that we don't know what's going on with them. I can remember when I was a freshman in college and my amour got in an accident. It was a fairly serious one. Fortunately, no one was injured, but the car was totaled. And I was stunned that I didn't know about it for several hours. When I did find out, it was that not knowing that traumatized me the most. I mean, by the time I knew that everyone was okay. But I think that was my first recognition that not only couldn't I do anything about it, but I didn't even know. So we have a lot of fear around this, around what we don't know and what we can't control. And there is just so much that we're powerless over. I mean, you know it. This isn't the first time you've heard it or thought about it, but just take a moment and let it sink in. How little you really control in your life. In the realm of the mind, all we really control is where to place our attention. And anyone who spent any time meditating knows that that's pretty tough. Placing your attention where you want it to go. So imagine what it's like for everybody who doesn't meditate. We are so powerless, as a matter of fact, that most human beings, when something goes bad, something happens that really don't like, will end up feeling guilty about it, even if there was no way at all that they could be responsible. And I noticed this when, you know, my partner and my parents died. Part of the experience of grief was a component of guilt, that there was a part of me that preferred to feel self-deprecating, to facing how utterly powerless I had been over the deaths of my loved ones. And I was talking to a very wise person the other day. We were just, you know, chatting some of these. I mean, this is what I do for fun. You know, I talk about how powerless we are and the effect that it has on the psyche. And this woman pointed out that at least being harsh with ourselves creates an illusion of power, that at least we can punish ourselves. And as I had to acknowledge the truth of what she was saying, I thought, boy, do we need this Dharma talk? Because this is totally useless self-torture. The self is just a mental construct, but it's one that suffers. It's the source of suffering. This is the suffering entity, is the self. And when we are harsh with it, with ourselves, our poor, tender selves, we not only create all this suffering, but we reinforce the idea that we really are what we think we are. There is no way to escape the uncertainty and the precariousness of life. The only way out is through it. The only escape is to acknowledge and accept the vast amount of stuff that we don't know and can't control. I'm talking not just about the catastrophes, the tragedies, but those, you know, those daily little, the times we get blindsided at work, the times we get blindsided at home. I mean, breakfast is going just fine until the kid who we thought everything was fine with finally says that he or she has just been having a really hard time. Or, you know, we get to the workplace and you open up the email and, oh boy, that plan that you'd worked on for weeks has just totally fallen through. Or someone with power over you runs a number on your head, totally out of left field, totally something you couldn't see coming, couldn't control. So that's a downer. All of this, life is full of our not knowing and our lack of control, and there's nothing we can do about it. On the other hand, there is a way to practice with this, and it's been around for a long time. In Zen, there is a very important practice known as not knowing. The power of the don't know. It's also called beginner's mind, the title of that very famous book by Suzuki Roshi. And the idea is that, you know, experts know so much about their field that it can blind them to new possibilities. That a beginner can see what the expert might miss because she or he has fresh and unbiased eyes. Newcomers are not used to just looking at something in a particular way. The whole field is going to be open. Gil Fronsdale was talking about not knowing as a practice, and he spoke about a day he spent with people who were very ill. He went to a conference many years ago with Stephen Levine. And when he walked in, he looked around and, you know, it was your average Buddhist crowd. He didn't think anything of it until he listened to the stories. And he was very moved and recognized, I don't know the depths of other people's experience. I can't possibly. So he says that this has left him with an appreciation for strangers and all that they might be that he doesn't know about. So there's a very liberative quality to facing all that we don't know. So Gil poses the question, how would we live if we fully acknowledged our uncertainty? And he points out how our fear of the unknown drives us to fill in the blanks of our knowledge with beliefs, opinions, assumptions. We want to know what's going to happen, and so we have this tendency to accept even far-fetched theories rather than acknowledge that we don't know. And Laura Burgess, who's a teacher at Zen Center in San Francisco and also a teacher by day, her day job is an elementary school teacher. And my favorite of her stories is the little fourth grader who said, Miss Burgess, what happens when we die? I forget. There are a lot of religions that specialize in providing answers to this little girl's question. But Gil says, Buddhism at its heart is not about answering these questions, but about resolving the fear that motivates the question. Buddhist practice calls on us to become free from attachment to security, free from the need to know. And someone was telling a story of some Buddhist monks who just hitchhiked across the country. They didn't know where their next meal was coming from. That's the life, the monastic life, is this radical acceptance of the uncertainty. All that they eat, their shelter, their clothing, comes from the generosity of others. And if it isn't there, it isn't there. It's a terribly courageous way to live. Gil has a practice of adding the three words, I don't know, at the end of every thought. And he says, since virtually every train of thought has some implicit belief associated with it, then by doing this, we come to question our thoughts and we question our beliefs. And that can lead to a very profound exploration of our essential nature, because it leads us to constantly deconstruct what we think we know, what we think we know about who we are and the world that we live in. Gill cautions, though, that the practice of not knowing needs to be distinguished from confusion and debilitating doubt. These mind states are usually involuntary, often unpleasant, and they tend to obscure rather than clarify the experience of the moment. In contrast, not knowing as a practice is a choice meant to bring greater peace. So another person that really is a wonderful resource on this, the uncertainty and living with it, is Stephen Batchelor, whose book Living with the Devil came out about 10 years ago. He picks so many different ways to look at this. This is a practice of looking around with all of the senses open, asking over and over, what is this? In meditation, something comes up, it distresses us, it puzzles us. The question is, what is this? In 13th century Japan, Dogen said that this question, what is this, was the very nature of the Buddha. It is a mental stance of questioning rather than clinging to the idea of knowing. When we let go of assumptions, Stephen Batchelor says, all possibilities lie open. And he likes to talk about opening up a path. And this path is obstructed by what we think is there. But when we open ourselves to the question of, well, what is this? Looking, you know, again, through beginner's eyes. And we see that it isn't obstructions. It's just possibilities. Batchelor kind of plays on words. He talks about the practice of waiting as if we were a waiter, someone who abandons any notion of what he might be called upon to do next, and to be constantly alert and ready to respond. And I really like that idea because, you know, service has been such an important part of my practice. And whenever I went someplace to do service, whether it was hospice or jail or recovery house, I liked on entering the door to put aside all of my ideas of what I wanted or what was going to happen or what would be a good outcome, and to just try to respond to the moment as best I could understand it with kindness. And that was, you know, the only thing I was really using as a guide. When we greet each moment, Batchelor says, with the question, what is this? We're freed from all our narrow mindsets and able to move freely through life. I want to read a very brief poem by Guillaume Apollinaire. Come to the edge, he said. They said, we are afraid. Come to the edge, he said. They came. He pushed them, and they flew. And I would like to end by quoting my good earth teabag from the other day, who had this to say, change is the essence of life. Surrender who you are for what you could become. Thank you.